Today, the noise in the CPI data machine. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, notice posts covering finance and property news. When you are totally data dependent, such as the Fed is, noise in the incoming data is always going to be an issue because signal and noise might not be aligned. There was a classic case yesterday when we got the latest read on the Consumer Price Index for the US from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Superficially, at least, underlying US inflation rose more than forecast in September, representing a pause in the recent progress towards moderating price pressures, boosted by housing and food, which accounted for over 75% of the advance. Goods prices rose as well, after reliably falling over the past year. Now, I've discussed before the disconnect between real lived experience of inflation and the official figures, but if we break down inflation to its four main components, we find that it's substantially all about services at this point. That's been true for a while. Goods prices are deflating, sort of, but helped cause some of the disappointment because that's happened less quickly than earlier in the year. In fact, food prices and airfares rose more than expected, even as shelter costs eased a little. That would make continued jumbo interest rate cuts difficult. While the great spike in price rises that came the year after the pandemic has run its course, what remains is grinding down the services inflation that followed the rest, and that tends to be driven by wages. The so-called core consumer price index, which excludes food and energy costs, increased 0.3% for a second month, and that also disrupted a string of lower readings. While the Fed's favoured supercore measure of inflation of services excluding shelter prices also has some bad news, as it's ticking up too, with the annual rate above 4%. The Fed sets great store by the trimmed mean, as calculated by the Cleveland Fed, in which the outliers are stripped out and an average taken for the rest. It's declining, true, but it's still a little above 3%. And sticky prices that take a while to change are also falling but slowly and are now at around 4%. That's according to the Atlanta Fed. And TS Lombard's Stephen Blitz produces a diffusion index of the proportion of consumer price in its components whose 3-month average is higher than their 12-month rolling average, a measure of whether the trend is increasing or decreasing. And on that basis, it looks like inflation has come to a rest at a level that is still way too high for comfort. The higher-than-expected inflation figures, along with last week's blowout US jobs report, will amplify the debate about whether the Federal Reserve will opt for a small interest rate cut next month or indeed even pause after the large September reduction. Officials penciled in another half point of cuts by the end of the year, and we know that they're watching developments in the labour market very closely. To that end, traders saw higher odds of a 25 basis point Fed rate cut next month after the release of the inflation data, as well as another report that showed applications for unemployment benefits rose last week to the highest in over a year. Applications for US employment benefits rose last week to more than a one-year high, reflecting notable increases in Michigan and states hit by Hurricane Helene. Initial claims increased by 33,000 to 258,000 on the week ended the 5th of October, though on an unadjusted basis, more than half of the advance was tied to states affected by Helene, including North Carolina and Florida. Michigan, home to a number of auto assembly plants, led all states with nearly 9,500 increased applications, the most since the first week of July, of course, relating to the strikes. The 4-week moving average of new applications, a metric that helped smooth out volatility, rose to 231,000. Continuing claims, a proxy for the number of people receiving benefits, rose to 1.86 million in the previous week. It's likely that ahead, the jobless claims data will be in for a stretch of volatility in the wake of hurricanes Helene and now Milton, which landed in Florida on Wednesday night, complicating efforts by the Federal Reserve to accurately gauge underlying developments in the US labor market. While many people in the southeastern US are unable to work because of the storm's destruction, some may also have difficulty or delay applying for unemployment benefits. So in the light of all this, well, how is the Fed going to react? Three Federal Reserve policymakers on Thursday were unfazed by the higher-than-forecast September inflation report, suggesting the US Central Bank can continue lowering interest rates, but a fourth hinted he may favour a pause at the next meeting. Month to month, there's wiggles and bumps in the data, but we've seen this pretty steady process of inflation moving downward, New York Fed President John Williams said during an event at Binghamton University. I expect that will continue. There's still some distance to go to reach our goal of 2%, but we're definitely moving in the right direction. The data paints a picture of an economy that has returned to balance, he said. Bank of Chicago President Austin Goolsbee, in an interview on CNBC, said that the overall trend for inflation over 12 to 18 months was clearly moving down. His counterpart from the Richmond Fed, Thomas Barkin, said inflation was definitely headed in the right direction. Goolsbee, meanwhile, acknowledged that the Fed's next move would be heavily debated at the next meeting on November the 6th and 7th in Washington. Recent gatherings of the Fed Overnight Committee, he said, has been close call type meetings. There will probably be more close call type meetings, he said. And the outlier on Thursday was Raphael Bostic, president of the Atlanta Fed. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal, he revealed that in projections released in September, he'd called for one additional quarter point cut this year. The Fed has two remaining meetings in 2024. I am totally comfortable with skipping a meeting if the data suggests that's appropriate, he said. Well, stocks fell after the data, with the S&P 500 down about 0.2% on the day, as the data or noise amplified the debate on whether the Federal Reserve will opt for a smaller rate cut next month, or even a pause after the large September reduction. For now, bond traders continue to bet the central bank will reduce the pace of cuts to 25 basis points in November, and the yield on the 10-year Treasury was little changed, actually, on the day, just above 4%. One slightly hotter than expected CPI reading doesn't mean a new wave of inflation has been unleashed, but the fact that it has been accompanying a jump in weekly jobless claims may add to short-term market uncertainty, said Chris Larkin at E-Trade. These weren't good numbers, but that doesn't mean they've upended the larger outlook for solid economic growth and moderate inflation. And in a note titled "The Fed's Quandary as Inflation Warmer While Labour Cooler," Quincy Crosby at LPL Financial said the latest economic numbers were not the combination the Fed wanted to see. If inflation data continues to indicate that prices are generally rising amid a backdrop of a cooler labour market, the Fed's next meeting will undoubtedly involve a more heated discussion of which of the Fed's mandates takes precedence, she noted. So whether the CPI data is really signalling a slowing in the reduction to inflation is questionable, but it does suggest the Fed might be reluctant to go 50 basis points next meeting. And actually, the latest bond pricing suggests markets are also changing tack. So when all you have is data dependence, expect more volatility as the data or noise shifts around. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.